It's Isaiah 28, verses 16 through 25. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. I will cancel the bargain you made to cheat death, and I will overturn your deal to dodge the grave. When the terrible enemy sweeps through, you'll be trampled into the ground. Again and again, that flood will come, morning after morning, day and night, until you are carried away. This message will bring terror to your people. The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as he did at Mount Perazim. He will rise in wrath as at the valley of Gibeon to do his work, his unusual task, and to work his work, his extraordinary work. So now do not mock, or your shekels have become stronger. Indeed, I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a decree of destruction for the whole land. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. Does the plowman plow every day to plant seed? Does he continuously break up and cultivate the soil? When he hath made plain the face thereof, does he cast abroad the caraway and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appropriate barley and the rye in their place? You may be seated.
Well, good morning. I know that scripture reading was a little bit longer than usual, but to me it had overtones of imprecatory and addressed several issues that are relevant to what we're going to be talking about today. I started out the first sermon on imprecatories by saying, enough is enough. And I'll say it again, enough is enough. Quote, afflictions are God's threshing instruments to loosen us from the world, to part between us and our chaff, and to prepare us for use. God will proportion them to our strength. They shall be no heavier than there is need. When his end is answered, the trials and sufferings of his people shall cease. His wheat shall be gathered into the garner, but the chaff shall be burned with unquenchable fire, end quote. That was a commentary by Matthew Henry on today's scripture reading. You know, if we took a poll, that's not a fake poll, of how many people are just fed up with the establishment, and it was 100%, it wouldn't be enough to change anything. If we prayed for the president, it wouldn't be enough to dissuade America's plunge into Babylon, because the God of Israel is offended by prayers for the devil. God wants us to pray against the enemies of our race and for deliverance. That's what saviors do. My sheep hear my voice. And when we receive his word and act accordingly, he will hear our prayers. We humbly pray that the only white power on earth to remove the curse of Mystery Babylon, the mystery of which comprise the Jewish, Catholic, and Judeo-Christian consortium, so that all may see their naked wickedness. Moreover, from March 23rd to May 1st, we conducted a 40-day worldwide imprecatory campaign against the fake news of mainstream media, to whom its prostitutes of yellow-brown journalism are complicit in the cover-up and stonewalling of Pizzagate and all other permutations of pedophilia reaching into the upper echelons of church and state. There is no separating the evil between churchianity and government. Both are culpable for the sins of child abductions, trafficking, rape, murder, and satanic rituals. Our whole campaign was about rescuing white children from the world of Talmudic abominations and horrific torture of the innocent. We have come to a point in time where there's no more Mr. Nice Guy. It's time to kill and destroy the killers and destroyers. If not now, when? Just to show you the depravity of an Antichrist Jew, I got an email from a laughable Christian Jew and professor at Puma College in Tucson, Arizona, criticizing me for taking Ecclesiastes 3:3 literally, that is, a time to kill. I can understand why a Jew would want to deconstruct the verse. It would putrefy the entire Bible concerning the fate of Jews, identified as Esau Edom, whom the Bible slates for total extermination. This is what spewed forth from the poison pen of the serpentine professor. Quote, "I was shocked to read your opinions of Jews, and further shocked to read your explanation for the disjunct between time to kill and thou shalt not kill." The Hebrew word used in these different passages is completely and totally different. In other words, a time to kill is referring to killing things such as a sacrificial lamb, or weeds in the field, or a horse that has a broken leg. It is not referring to capital punishment, murder. End quote. Well, the Hebrew words for kill in Ecclesiastes 3:3 and Exodus 20:13 are Numbers 20:26 and 75:23 respectively, and both say kill, murder, and put to death. This Jew is a professor of BS. I guess he forgot about the 50 million Christian peasants in Russia that the Jewish Bolsheviks murdered. And I doubt that they all had broken legs. Can you see why we hate Jews? They are liars and murderers from the beginning of their Babylonian mongrelization to rule the world as gods. Take your fictitious Holocaust, professor, and shove it up your fake dead soul. When we prayed our imprecatories, we were well aware of the fact that the consequences may be like a herbicide killing tear weeds or putting a jackass out of its misery for broken genetics. But it was never to justify wanton murder in violation of the Fifth Commandment. If imprecatory was a transgression of the law, it would be sin. It's the Jews who murdered Jesus and tried to justify it by their traditions, as well as all other aspects of circumventing the Mosaic law through Talmudic rationalizations. Psalms 35:8 says, "Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself." Psalms 58, verses 7 through 8 and 15 says, "Let them vanish like water that flows away, May they be like snails that dissolve into slime, like a stillborn child who will never see the sun. And Psalms 109, verse 8 says, let his days be numbered. Cut off the memory of them from the earth. As you can see, all three imprecatory chapters advocated putting an adversary to death. A time to kill. Judas committed suicide, but on God's calendar, it was time. Bill Fink and I did a podcast last Saturday in which we discussed our campaign over the past 38 days, starting in March 23rd. And we were honored to have Pastor Everett Ramsey, Pastor Don Elmore, and Gary Blasso as guests. You can listen to the broadcast, much of what I'm sharing with you today. You can also read the postings of current events as they happened during the campaign at the Christogenia Forum under Christian Identity Directions, and I provide a link. I sent dozens of lawful notices to the mainstream media, according to Ezekiel 3, 17 through 19, saying, attention, mainstream media. The recipients of this declaration are now being given lawful notice to cease and desist from intentionally bearing false witness, slander, and deviant journalism. Your agenda is increasingly becoming self-evident that you hate America, hate the white race, and hate Christianity. You don't have much time to repent, that is, change your evil ways and start reporting the truth. Many of you in the mainstream media are atheists and don't believe the God of the Bible can punish evildoers. You would be wrong. And whether you report it or not, God's wrath is coming to your doorsteps. The curses will begin March 23rd, 2017. You have been warned according to Ezekiel 3. 17 through 19. The time for interviews and programs are over. For years, the mainstream media has had every opportunity to report the truth about Christian identity and has only participated willingly in a smear campaign to ruin lives. Now, it is our turn to campaign against you in the defense of our posterity. I will only consider sincere communications by way of email. Hard copies are also being sent so that you cannot plead ignorance. May God have mercy on your wicked souls. I only had one letter stamped return to sender, and that was from the Washington Post for some reason. A brief synopsis of the intent and purpose of our campaign is that imprecatory prayer is a last resort appeal to God for justice. The so-called curses are simply the just penalty called for in the scriptures for the alleged crime. Imprecatory prayer is an appeal to the court of divine justice, one, for protection, and two, the appropriate punishment for the criminals. Imprecatory prayer is most often used when the criminals are the rich and powerful or corrupt men in government. The prayer asks God to solve the problem and bring the criminal to repentance or to judgment. This campaign is to show our heart and soul in God's court. We are prosecutors, asking for God's judgment towards his enemies and mercy to his children. You know, some people just don't get it, and they'll go nameless. I got an email reinterpreting the aforementioned to say, I want to end the divisions and include people who have no right to call themselves Christian identity because they have engaged in overt deeds of universalism and unchristian behavior. When I said differences, I meant doctrinal differences, not behavioral differences that are unbecoming a Christian. If the parties involved in these squabbles wish to bury the hatchet on their own accord, they're free to do so. But this kind of issue should not interfere with or be a distraction to our primary mission, that is, a Christian identity imprecation against fake news. In that detailed message, I clearly stated there are some pretenders who have a record of sabotaging our community and will not be contacted. So something as serious as imprecatory will no doubt be met with opposition from the enemy within and without. Anything that tries to misdirect the premise of our project is counterproductive and raises red flags. I received another email suggesting that I needed to add all corrupt politicians, public servants, and apostate ministers to the targets of our prayer. Again, I must emphasize the focus of our campaign is against the fake news of the mainstream media and their duplicity in what has been referred to as Pizzagate. Some are now calling it Pedogate. I do not wish to dilute the imprecatory with an endless list of culprits, even though they may deserve it. I'm sure the fallout from our campaign will affect those in church and state which have had a history of being bound to the lies of what we consider the source of Israel's trouble for so long. Why suggest adding other things other than the mainstream media? Why? Because they think it's a good idea, even though it's in conflict with a very focused and clear target. If you have a bow and arrow and you get one shot a day to hit the bullseye, but there's dozens of targets downrange, which one are you going to aim at? The subtlety of diffusion is holding more than one idea for a single reality. I was distraught that this person's newsletter completely nullified the objective of our campaign and eliminated the mainstream media and the crisis of pedophilia. He even got the dates wrong. Now, I don't know whether to call it sabotage or just stupidity. This is one of his additions. We pray for Donald Trump. Yes, Jesus, we are aware of his many imperfections. We ourselves have many spiritual imperfections, but we also see a man that is called of God for this hour in our nation. May President Trump fulfill a role of Cyrus and even Samson from the scriptures against the Antichrist, end quote. Well, as you know, I no longer believe that Trump is white, but a Jewish terror. He got his calling all right, but it was a call from Netanyahu. Another armchair critic, who I've called the dirty preacher from the South because of his chronic and habitual lying and slander, said, quote, "The Bible clearly says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much," James 5:16. "But I read nowhere that many Israelites praying at the same time will get them answered any faster. Can somebody point this out to me? Praying in groups and public is forbidden in the New Testament. Doesn't it seem like these idiots with their day of imprecatory prayer don't believe in Christ's teachings on prayer to begin with? They need help from others? Having 1,000 people pray is equal to one prayer from a saint. What an utter waste of time," end quote. Really? let's point out to this pathetic fool what the word really says. Quote, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Acts 2:42. Quote, "All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the woman, the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." Acts 1:14. Quote, "So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church." Acts 12:5. Is the church, the ecclesia, just one person? Duh. Quote, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." 2 Corinthians 1:11. Quote, "Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." Joel 1:14. That is corporate prayer. Quote, "These," meaning plural, "I will bring to my holy mountain and make them," plural, "joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people," all white people, Isaiah 56:7. And finally, quote, "where many were gathered together praying," Acts 12:12. You know, nothing could be more arrogant and selfish than to relegate prayer to the exclusive practice of one person, independent of the ecclesia. How utterly absurd and anti-Christian. There are those who scatter, and there are those who gather. But we know who they are and what they are, and they deserve the imprecatory prayer just as much as those who curse us in the Jews' media. To reveal the truth about fake news covering up the satanic pedophile rings, not only in Washington, D.C., but globally, I initially designed this as an American campaign, but soon found out that our Christian identity friends from Australia, South Africa, England, and Canada were more than eager to join forces with us. And I'll be relating some of the things that happened in their countries, which can be seen as an answer to our prayers. Our main argument in the Court of Divine Justice was based on Genesis 12:3, to curse those who curse us. When we are pleading our case in the Court of Divine Justice, we can show just how the enemy of Christ and Christians have violated the divine law, the consequences of which curse God's people, the white race. The Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12 was an unconditional promise to curse those who curse us. That is the power of our prayers and letting God be true. To show that imprecatory prayer is a viable Christian practice whereby the power of God is demonstrated, churchianity does not instruct its members to curse a false accuser or abhor evil or hate those who hate the God of Israel. When Moses faced an impossible judgment of the law, he turned to God to render a verdict. We don't have the wherewithal to reconcile all the adversaries thrown at us. It's our destiny to turn to God for help. The ancient Israelites, when they practiced their dependency upon God, would get miraculous results. The stories are too numerous to tell today, but the reason was to show them and their enemies that our God was all-powerful, omnipotent, and could wipe out an entire city of Sodomites if he wanted to. And he did. We practice imprecatory in order to glorify God, not us. Glory means repute, to send a clear message to the world that there is no other reputation of deity that should be feared more than the God of Israel. In not doing due diligence or our God-given duties, people are no longer God-fearing or have reverence and respect for God. Therefore, Christian identity is compelled to renew our duties if we want to overcome the world of Antichrist and bastards. We are fighting wickedness in high places, and so wicked that there's a UN resolution to control fake news. Orwellian, North Korea, total slavery. Revelation 18, 11 through 13 describes the mentality of amoral fake Israelites in the end time. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and of pearls, fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and all thine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, end quote. The very last thing is our racial identity, even below slavery. This is a prerequisite for a pedophile-tolerant society. The Goyim and their children are considered worthless and at the disposal of every Jew's whim. One of the most impressive testimonials came from a Texas prison of stout prayer warriors in my prison ministry. For security reasons, I will not divulge their location, as prisons are notorious for unbridled vengeance. They've been fighting the system for years to access the chapel, like all other religious groups. And they finally won that battle, and the next step was a cabinet to store their literature and tapes in. All the red tape and intentional bureaucracy created a great deal of angst and frustration by the prison chaplain. It was quite a spectacle witnessing a man of God being an impediment to fellow Christians, notwithstanding the environment. And about this time of wringing hands in despair, our boys received the sermon introducing them to imprecation, and they took to it like a fish to water, fasting included. The group's main organizer, having what he thought had been exhausting all remedies for their cabinet, went ahead and ordered one anyway. And the day arrived is the same day the chaplain did not report to work his usual labyrinth of obstacles. He succumbed to a brain tumor and was in need of surgery. Now, in spiritual warfare, this is how God helps his people when all else fails. It's a great lesson for all involved, and even those on the sidelines. On day one of our campaign, we found a definite answer to our prayers. And I think it's because some of our people had already started their prayers and fasting, but I didn't expect a big name like David Rockefeller to croak before March 23rd when we officially launched the campaign. And I quoted him in my recent sermon when he gave thanks to the mainstream media for effectually hiding their agenda and serving the plans for a new world order without God. On March 23rd, we found out the founder of Media Matters and infamous Hillary attack dog and agitation propaganda specialist, David Brock, suffered a heart attack. He was a vehement, dirty trickster against the Trump campaign. He no doubt specialized in distractions to take attention away from the Clinton mafia, having a cozy relationship with characters involved in satanic pedophile rings. George Soros is the money behind Media Matters, and that they were behind the recent media smear of Bill O'Reilly and his demise, which may only be internecine warfare. This is an answer to prayer. In one of my discussions, or posts, or perhaps on Bill's program, I stated that I did not know how God was going to answer our prayers exactly, but I gave a few examples, and one of them was whistleblowers, or people who would step forward to shed light on a very shadowy world of darkness and pedophilia that the mainstream media won't touch. However, we then hear about, of all people, Dr. Phil, a popular and widely syndicated psychiatrist on cable TV. He said he believed there is indeed a worldwide, widespread child trafficking network catering to the highest echelons of government and business. That is wickedness in high places. And I gave two links, the first giving firsthand testimony from a victim, and the second is Dr. Phil's program. YouTube pulled the video of Dr. Phil's show, but it's been captured and is available at Christogenia. Perhaps the media whores at YouTube deserve some imprecatory for protecting the high and mighty pedophiles. This is an answer to prayer, exposing and confirming the objective of our imprecatory campaign. On the second day, another interesting thing happened. I didn't specify or limit our imprecatories to the USA. Hence, it was reported that another journalist was murdered in Mexico, most likely by the drug cartels. The story is at Breitbart, a Jewish media online. But what's funny is the comment section, which reminds me of the old joke, what's the difference between a dead skunk and a dead lawyer on the road? Well, there's no skid marks for the skunk. Same for media whores. Still, on the 24th, CNN and MSNBC were busted or exposed for using the same live guest at the same time. What a bunch of blatant liars. Day three, I was sucker punched with new evidence. Representative Trey Gowdy successfully petitioned a federal judge to have the body of Vince Foster exhumed for autopsy. The body wasn't autopsied before burial the first time, which aided in the theory of a cover-up. Forensic specialists examined the body last night at the Naval Hospital in Norfolk, Virginia, concluding that the cause of death for Mr. Foster should be changed from suicide to homicide. Perhaps Foster found out the Clintons were involved in perverted sex with children and wanted out, so they put him out permanently. Let us pray that they find out who murdered Foster and why the media whores covered it up without one iota of investigative journalism for 23 years. The Clintons are deeply involved in Pizzagate, Jeffrey Epstein, and criminal politics. But alas, turns out the above story about Vince Foster is fake news. But I have to wonder what the motives of the perpetrators were. When the pizza joint, Comet Ping Pong, got more bad press than they wanted, they contrived an actor to walk into their premise and fire off one round from an AR-15. This fake news quenched the story as hoped for. Perhaps more people are getting interested in the Vince Foster case and thus fake news to make the researchers look frivolous. The mainstream media is proficient in the art of distraction and diversion. But we must become more proficient in detecting fake news, because that's what media whores do. On March 25th, there were demonstrations in front of the White House protesting Pizzagate and demanding an investigation. Didn't hear about that on mainstream media. Americans want to know what the hell is going on. We've had enough lies and deception to keep us in the dark forever. In case you haven't heard, the motto of the Mossad is, "By way of deception, we shall wage war." The Jews have always been against white Christianity because we worship the Word made flesh, who denounced the Jewish Pharisees. Their parent religion was born in Babylon and birthed murderers and liars. We pray for the light of the world. And then will the lawless be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. March 26th, which is a Sunday, I just watched the 60 Minutes investigation of fake news, or shall we say the Ministry of Truth, painting themselves even further into the corner of disingenuous reporting. It was almost comical, as if the fox is telling us about the hen house. Oh, the chickens are perfectly safe. Scott Pelley, media whore for CBS, interviewed a lawyer who revealed a lot of Pizzagate. And as always, CBS edits out the more salient parts of the interview. The diversion of half the show was about bot websites that intentionally headline sensational news and grow on the internet exponentially, so that everybody's quoting the same thing, the same source. Why should we not believe the mainstream media invents these sites as a straw man argument for their culpability in generating the fake news? And how convenient to see Ben Swan missing in action from the award-winning investigative program. He actually was on CBS Evening News and did about a 10-minute segment on Pizzagate, asking very embarrassing questions, and I think they put him out to pasture to cool his heels. He did a definite no-no, but he wasn't even mentioned in the 60 Minutes program. A funny moment was when the lawyer asked Pelley why he believed Hillary. And Pelley completely dodged the question by saying, "But the point is, CBS is a qualified recipient of our imprecatory campaign. Oh, they also had one of the top 50 most powerful people in Washington, D.C., James Olifantis, the pizza parlor guy from Comet Ping Pong, where pedophilia is part of the menu. I guess he's so powerful that Alex Jones apologized to him. Or maybe that's just the impression two actors wish to convey in this grand theater of fraud and corruption. We pray the final curtain will close this show down soon. March 27th. It occurred to me, even though most of us have never trusted Alex Jones, a Zionist sympathizer, in apologizing to James Olifantis after telling his over a million followers about the evils of Pizzagate, that he has outed himself as a shill for the establishment. He creates a public double-mindedness, cognitive dissonance, in order to put an unstable mentality into the American consciousness. And for that kind of sophisticated mass mind control, he deserves our imprecatories. In fact, as it turns out, according to Jones' attorney, on April 18th, said, quote, notorious U.S. broadcaster Alex Jones is a performance artist, and his on-air persona is an act, end quote. Jones runs the controversial InfoWars website, which is known for propagating conspiracy theories and its support of Donald Trump. Scratch one more fake from the news. Kind of reminds me of Hal Turner and his Hall of Shame flunkies. How can anybody listen or take Jones seriously after this admission? Thank you, Lord. This was an answer to our prayers. Expose the fraud. March 28, Ted Koppel, a Jew, a longtime media whore and liberal propagandist, had the audacity to blast Sean Hannity last Sunday in a bit of fake news purporting to investigate why, quote, we Americans occupy alternate universes when it comes to facts and our media choices. Well, unsurprisingly, the partisan journalists mostly blamed this on the right and didn't look in the mirror. A classic case of the pot calling the kettle black. It's not so much Hannity being squeaky clean, he's not. He's a Catholic universalist wearing a kosher conservative badge, but rather Koppel being the ultimate hypocrite saying, quote, you, meaning Hannity, have attracted people who are determined that ideology is more important than facts, end quote. Well, who died and made Koppel the god of truth? What really irks the Jew is the internet and alternative sources for news that is not fake news from the mainstream media. It was so much easier back when Ted was on TV every night, brainwashing Americans with an unbridled monopoly. But all that lying and justification for the Jew ruining America has run up against opposition. And even the controlled opposition is seen for what it is, fake. Poor Ted is bemoaning two universes as his mainstream media, working so hard for so many years for a one-world government, is evaporating. The Jew knows that if they don't silence the real opposition, and soon, they will be swinging from a lamppost, and everybody will know that they never were the true Israelites of the Bible. This is an answer to our prayers. The Jews are cornered like a desperate rat. March 30th. It's been disclosed that the New York Police Department is apparently fed up with the FBI's lack of actions against two-time failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and her conglomerate of corrupt cronies. Last fall, the FBI seized a laptop belonging to disgraced Democrat Congressman Anthony Weiner, who was the husband of Hillary's top aide, Huma Abedin, at the time, and apparently it was full of utterly disturbing information. In fact, sources within the NYPD say that numerous felony charges should have been brought against Weiner, Hillary, and Abedin alike, but the FBI covered it all up because of the presidential election. The NYPD sources believed the FBI would act after Hillary lost, but since they haven't, New York's law enforcement is taking action on their own and revealing what was actually found on the laptop. New York Police Department detectives and sources working an underage child pornography case against Anthony Weiner confirmed the laptop seized from the former congressman contains proof that Hillary Clinton knew he was engaging in a long sexual relationship with a minor, but did not intervene to alert any state or federal authorities to protect a 15-year-old. Neither Clinton nor Abedin apparently did anything to stop the abuse of the minor. Instead, the repeated incidents, which breach a host of state and federal laws, and were kept quiet. This is an answer to our prayers to reveal what is usually hidden. March 31st, Pastor Chuck Baldwin comes out against the Jews. He said, quote, "These angry, intolerant, wealthy Zionists use the power of their money to intimidate, and coerce not only the mainstream media, but also the conservative media into kowtowing to their radical Zionist agenda," end quote. Wow. Because of his anti-Jew position, he was fired from newswithviews.com. Evidently, a wealthy Jewish contributor told them he would stop the $1,000 a month support if Baldwin remained. This is an answer to our prayers to separate the shepherds from the wolves. Pray for Pastor Baldwin to see the light of Christian identity and who he is. April 7th. Last night I was watching O'Reilly on Fox News, and for half an hour he was pounding away at the importance of facts before we jump to conclusions. That in America, we are innocent until proven guilty. Ha ha. Well, I changed channel just for a minute and then came back, and the faggot Shepard Smith was in the pilot seat with breaking news. And no mention of what happened to O'Reilly. For the next hour and a half, on Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, the script must have been written by the same Jew. The whole media presentation was choreographed with precision. Yeah, it was too perfect for the discerning viewers witnessing another psyop on the American people with the grandiose missile attack on Syria. Remember, 59 missiles. Already there is mounting evidence that it was a false flag. But what concerns me more than anything is that when these kinds of historical breaking news happenings occur, it's usually to distract us from something else that is more important. That was the last time O'Reilly would host his No Spin Zone. 10 days later, O'Reilly was fired from Fox News for sexual harassment of six women. Although he maintains he's innocent, he has paid out $15 million in settlements already. I doubt the move by Rupert Murdoch had anything to do with morality, but rather the evaporation of advertisers from the O'Reilly Show, which generated $178 million in 2015. O'Reilly had poo-pooed the Pizzagate story, calling it fake news. He also dismissed any conspiracy theories for 9/11, maintaining the official government position, and thus all of his so-called news reporting was tainted with the global elitist agenda. Wonder if we ever paid a visit to Comet Ping Pong. Catholic O'Reilly was at the Vatican Wednesday shaking hands with the Pope, who, if you recall, said, "Who am I to judge?" referring to sodomites. It must have slipped the pontiff's mind that the church has a sordid history of pedophile priests, that is, homosexual predators of children. So we're thankful that this appears to be yet another great answer from our imprecatory prayers in the court of divine justice. April 15th. When I lived in Washington State and was politically active in Olympia, the state capital, we often battled against the sodomites and their push for same-sex marriage. One of those adversaries was Ed Murray, a despicable faggot who is now mayor of Seattle. Murray has been charged with child rape against three children back when he was a Democratic Party street thug. God's curse is now upon him, and I see this as a wonderful answer to our imprecatory prayer campaign. The Seattle Times is a very liberal newspaper and wouldn't run a story like this without conclusive evidence. Lawsuits will be forthcoming against Murray, who is facing a re-election this fall. Good timing, eh? If anyone causes one of these little ones who believed in me to sin, it would be better for him if a large millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned at the bottom of the sea. April 17th. This morning, as my wife and I prayed together and came to the imprecatories, I prayed against the mainstream media whores internationally, because the global elite, the top dogs, are interconnected with pedophile rings in one way or another. I pray for Australia, Europe, Canada, South Africa, etc. And shortly thereafter, I came across a news story that said, quote, Ben McCormick, a 42-year-old reporter for a TV show called A Current Affair, airing on Channel 9 in Sydney, Australia, was arrested yesterday and charged with child pornography. According to Neon Nettle, police raided the news station and left the Channel 9 network television studio seizing computers, a mobile phone, and other storage devices after arresting the 25-year veteran reporter who was one of the network's most senior staff and is well known to have powerful connections worldwide, end quote. Is this answer immediate enough? April 24th. I live in Campbell County, Kentucky. I consider the following to be a sign from God that we are on the right track. Former Campbell County judge charged with human trafficking, Timothy Nolan, 70, of California, Kentucky, was arraigned in Boone County, that's where our church is, district court Friday, for crimes he's accused of committing in August of 2016, according to Bashir. Nolan, quote, knowingly induced, assisted, and caused the under 18 victim to engage in illegal sexual activity and he gave alcohol to the minor according to court records. Judge Elizabeth Chandler ordered Nolan to wear an ankle monitor and to have no contact with the victims and family. Now, this makes me wonder, how many other scandals are there around the country where the news is being suppressed? Where are the investigative reporters who should see if Nolan has fingerprints on Pizzagate or other satanic cults lurking in America government institutions? Pray for more disclosure on this despicable judge, and we'll see if this guy is connected and will get off the hook. But really, it doesn't get much closer to home than that. April 26th, we discovered a cover-up. One headline read, UN child abuse scandal is latest in history of sex crimes committed by officials and peacekeepers, end quote. Last week's report from the Associated Press revealing the bust of a child sex ring run by United Nations peacekeepers in Haiti was far from the first time the United Nations has been associated with child abuse rings. The UN has for decades been rocked by accusations of sex crimes ranging from rape and abuse of women and minors committed in war zones to participation in human trafficking, prostitution, and even production of child pornography involving senior UN officials and members of foreign governments. The horrific acts often go unpunished as the result of an overly bureaucratic investigation process, with many perpetrators being sent home where they in many cases do not face prosecution in their own country. This evidently goes back decades. And why wouldn't it tie into the Pizzagate gang? Now, I really don't care about Haitian children, but they were being exploited under the guise of the Clinton Foundation and under the guise of Christian orphanage charities. What's worse than impersonating an Israelite? Impersonating a Christian. How low can they go for filthy lucre? Our 40 days of prayer and fasting are over. But there's nothing to say that we can't continue the imprecatories because the fake news is going to get worse before it dies. Our faith in the law shall prevail because we have gone through the right channels to seek justice over corruption. We will let God be true. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The divine court of justice shall be vindicated, as some may have thought it, antiquated and obsolete. Our people have brought this dilemma upon themselves, as did our Israelite ancestors. We've sentenced our children to 12 years of Jewish communist indoctrination. And if they're exceptionally brainwashed, they get to go to college for advanced mind control. You shall have sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they will go into captivity. Deuteronomy 28:41. You know, God's justice is measured by what we do. If our children are being kidnapped into the nightmarish world of pedophiles and Satanists, we must be far worse than the parents who gave their children over to the giant frying pan of Moloch. The cause and effect is found in Hosea 4:6. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Thank God we have recourse to humble ourselves and petition the court of divine justice, because the God of our race will not forget us forever. There's a difference between our children being stolen and being captive. We can lawfully prosecute those who persecute us. As Pastor Elmore pointed out on the Christogenia podcast, we're in a similar situation as was Judah coming under the contempt of Assyria, insulting the God of Israel, citing 2 Chronicles 32, 19 through 21. Let's read it. They spoke against the God of Jerusalem like they had spoken against the small g gods of the people of the earth, which were made by human hands. But King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, prayed about this and cried unto heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Israel, king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land. And when he had entered the temple of his small g god, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. End quote. The global elitists insult Jesus Christ today in no uncertain terms. The Jews will report fake news and promote immorality to the very end of this age. As Bill pointed out, our thoughts are a form of prayer. Psalms 94:11 says, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man." He is omniscient, after all. How can anybody think they're getting away with sinful thoughts? How can anybody think they have no control over what pops into their mind? When we are told to, quote, take every thought captive to obey Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we have control. We should be in a constant state of imprecatory, just as Jesus was well aware of those who wanted to kill him. God's words help us to recognize our thoughts for what they really are and how to act or not act upon them. And the pathetic enemy tries to intimidate us with thought crimes called hate laws? I am not persuaded to change my mind nor the mind of Christ, albeit many forsake what is freely given to those he loves. The truth. A longtime friend of FGCP, Gary Blasso, was our third guest on the Saturday podcast, who really was the prime motivator behind our campaign and getting the ball rolling before March 23rd by starting his own imprecatory prayers and fasting. How could one not follow his lead? Gary made some good comments during the show revolving around the question of where do we go from here? Gary said, quote, "Our movement tends to be fragmented and splintered. But the thing I learned about the prayer part of the campaign is how much better the focus was. Because if you're praying by yourself on something this big, you're wondering if anybody else is thinking the same way. But when you're a part of a unified effort, it keeps you connected." I'd like to see this continue. It's like in sports, a game doesn't quit until the buzzer, because there, meaning the enemy, is not stopping. The progressives, or commies, are trying to normalize this stuff, meaning the pedophilia. They hate everything we stand for, any kind of traditional values. We need to pray for the safety of our own people, here and abroad. We want to keep the focus national and dynamic, and to keep the connections of our brethren, end quote. You know, I couldn't agree more with him. We should remain encouraged and steadfast for future campaigns. Our brother Joe, another Joe, from the Christogenia Forum from Australia, made this poignant observation. I didn't understand the reason for Marx targeting the media when I first saw this. But then I realized that this is the front lines, brother, in the war for truth. And the lies these people tell filter down and are in the mouths of some of our closest enemies, the strength of our enemy. Another forum member, Teutonic, replied, "Lies are their weapon of choice, the media their vehicle of choice, the prince of the power of the air," end quote. Well, the power of the air is now in the hands of mainstream media. That is TV, smartphones, satellite communications, etc. Moving air is the root meaning of spirit. The Greek word pneuma, number 4151. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. On a physical level, it is life, air moving in and out of our nose. On a mental level, it's the motivations from God that animates our Christian character. And on a spiritual level, it is moving and being in agreement with the Holy Spirit. We are engaged in spiritual warfare, and we can win in the court of divine justice because the only defenses of the wicked are the lies of discovery, the lies of testimony, and the lies of cross-examination. God cannot judge in favor of lies. Quote, "Hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place." That was our scripture reading this morning. Let me read it again. "Hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place." Now, I can't resist this one last comment that hail is frozen water. And water is often likened to the Word of God. When man freezes the Word of God, that is, it makes it of none effect, then it is turned against man for doing so in his divine judgment. It was one of the plagues of Egypt. The glory of God is that no one can halt the word, and by divine intervention can melt the ice and thus becoming water again. Donald Trump said he was going to drain the swamp, but just the opposite happened, and the swamp is overflowing. He started by filling the swamp with, quote, "The Clintons are good people," end quote. The consequences of which, this last week in the Midwest, the old records for flooding for the last 100 years have been shattered. Do you think it's a sign? Well, duh! For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, because everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who then overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Thank you.